Obama's crisis is a crisis of racial identity. And he wrote of this struggle to find that identity. In fact, you couldn't even be sure that everything you had assumed to be an expression of your Black unfettered self, the humor, the song, the behind-the-back pass, had been freely chosen by you. At best, these things were a refuge, at worst a trap. Or as Fanon wrote, every colonized people, in other words, every people in whose soul an inferiority complex has been created by the death and burial of its local cultural originality, finds itself face to face with the language of the civilizing nation, that is, with the culture of the mother country's cultural standards. This is the crux of the problem, both for Obama and for Fanon. The colonized is elevated above his jungle status in proportion to his adoption of the mother country's cultural standards. We can see Fanon reflected in Obama when Obama tells us he felt a warning whenever a white girl mentioned in the middle of a conversation how much she likes Stevie Wonder, or when the school principal told me I was cool. I did like Stevie Wonder. I did love basketball. And I tried my best to be cool at all times. So why did such comments set me on edge? These comments set Obama on edge for the same reason colonialism set Fanon on edge. Fanon did not want to put the white colonial mask in front of his Black face any more than Obama wanted to internalize white stereotypical ideas of who Blacks were in the 1970s. In the final analysis, both Obama and Fanon share the same worst fear, namely, losing their self-determined identities in the definitions and language that a dominant white culture sought to impose on them in order to hold them in subjugation.